In the Old Testament also, in Isaiah chapter 49, these two verses of Scripture have been a great help to me this week. And I trust that I can say something that will minister to your heart. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10. I mentioned earlier that my dad called me this week, and we talked for just a moment there, and his voice broke, and he said, "Son," he said, "the Lord gave your daddy a scripture yesterday, and he said, it has helped me so much." And I was sitting at the desk back here in the study, and he said, "Could you read it with me?" I said, "Well, my Bible's right here in front of me. I've been doing some studying." He said, "Let's read it together." And so Dad, with a broken voice, and I could hear him crying on the other end of the line, this is what we read together. And him having went through what he's went through, you can imagine of how that this affected both of us. I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture, Hebrews 6 and 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." When Dad read that scripture with me, I could just picture him there in his chair and the Spirit of God coming down upon him, showing him that verse of scripture and the Lord saying to him, "Russell MacDonald, I haven't forgotten you." If the Lord would stand by me, I'd like to preach tonight on what I'm calling Never Forsaken and Never Forgotten. I want to preach this message tonight as a tribute and an honor to the Lord answering the prayer, bringing my dad back around and him waking up from that coma and his mind being sound and him having reason and him being himself. Never forsaken and never forgotten. In Isaiah 49 and 13, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." God never forgets. God never forgets. Here in Hebrews 6 and 10, there's somewhat a contrast. There's a play upon words here. Of course, we understand very evidently that God is not unrighteous. Of course, we know that. And we also understand that God is not forgetful. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. With all of His knowing, He knows all things. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all at one time. And so actually there's a contrast here. There's a turn on words. And the writer in Hebrews 6 and 10 is simply saying, whereas man may be unrighteous, God is not. Man may be unrighteous, but God is not unrighteous. God is righteous. God is pure, and God is just. And whereas man may forget, God's never going to forget. He plays upon the weakness of man to show to us the power of God. Whereas man by habit, man by nature, he may be apt to forget. He may be prone sometimes to let things slip from his mind, but not so with God. God never forgets. I love Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and 12, and then also in Psalm 70 and verse 5, you see about the same verse of Scripture. Psalm 40 and 12, "Behold, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Isn't it wonderful to know that God considers us in our low estate, and though people may forget us, God never forgets. I sometimes have a problem remembering names. I'd never forget a face, but it's hard to associate a name with that face. And one thing I experienced in all the years of our traveling was like if you went to the Allentown meeting Or you went to the Bristol Fellowship meeting and you seen people that you had seen before, but because they were out of place, because they were not in their familiar surroundings and they were not at that church where you had seen them last, you said, I know that person. I've seen them somewhere, but you could not remember them by name. But I want to tell you, my friend, God never forgets a name. The very hair of our head is numbered, and God numbers every one of them. He sees each sparrow that falls. He is an omniscient God that sees and knows everything. And I just want to preach to somebody here tonight, you're never forsaken and you're never forgotten. You may be sitting here tonight wondering, does God realize what I'm going through? Does God understand that I've took all I can take? I want to say to you tonight, as the verse of Scripture said, God is not unrighteous and that He has not forgotten. He never forgets. Hallelujah. Of course, Psalm 8:3, how many times have we looked at that? When I consider the heavens, amen, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And then verse 9 also, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God is concerned about us? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God has you on His mind? What is man? Psalm 8:9. What is man that thou art, 8:4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I like that word, mindful. Isn't that a wonderful word? Have you ever thought what that means? What is man that thou art mindful? That simply means that God's mind is full of you. A full mind. The thoughts of God are upon us. Mindful. The thoughts of God are full of you and me. And you're never forsaken. And you're never forgotten. Preacher, I'm in the worst storm of my life. On the authority of the Word of God, I want to tell you that God is not righteous, unrighteous. He has not forgotten. Preacher, I am in the greatest trial of faith that I have ever been. I am to the point, Brother McDonald, I wonder, does it do any good to pray at all? God is not unrighteous. Brother Shad, I sometimes really question, how can any good come out of what I'm going through? Let's look at those questions again. Will I ever get out of the storm I'm in? Does God really answer prayer? And then last, how can any good come out of this? Let's look at those three things. And I want to be repetitious. When will this storm end? Does it do any good to pray? How can any good come out of what I'm going through? First of all, let's look at Noah. Secondly, let's look at Abraham. And then thirdly, let's look at Joseph. Have you ever noticed that verse of Scripture there in Genesis 8:1? And God remembered. And God remembered Noah. As if to say that he ever even forgot. He uses a and I won't try to say it, but in my study this week, I come across a word that begins with A, and it's got most every letter in the alphabet in it, and I guess you'd call it a theological term that literally means that God, as so to show us something of Him, He makes a play upon human nature. For you see, in that sometimes when we forget, we recall, it comes back to our recollection, and we remember. Amen. And so here God makes a play upon human nature, and it says, and God remembered Noah. Preacher, will this storm ever come to an end? Will this ever be over? The Bible said, and God remembered Noah. I like verse number 23 of Genesis 7. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. What am I saying? God did not forget Noah. You see, it was a matter of trust. It was a matter of toil, and it was a long trial for 120 years. Amen. God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. What a trial of faith. It had never rained before, and God told Noah to build an ark. And Hebrews 11 declares, by faith Noah, being warned of God, amen, prepared an ark, amen, by which he condemned the world, amen, to the saving of his house, and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Nobody had seen it rain before, and nobody had ever built a boat before, but Noah built a boat, and Noah saved his house. Amen. Fathers, parents, may I preach to you? You may question, will my children be saved? Will my children be saved? Build a boat, prepare an ark, and trust God to save them from the judgment that is to come. And you'll find out that God is not unrighteous to forget. You'll find that God is faithful. And if you'll build a boat, if you'll prepare an ark, if you'll do your part, God will remember. You know, it's wonderful in this, in that while Noah built this ark, we cannot say that he was a successful evangelist. We cannot say that he was a very successful crusader. And he did not have large groups of people saved under his preaching. But there was one thing that he was faithful in doing. Noah saved his house. Daddy, mother, parents, could I encourage you tonight, build an ark. Provide a safe haven. And God told Noah, said, when you build that ark, pitch it within and pitch it without. Rather, Noah, I want you to pitch that thing so that nothing from the outside can get on the inside. Pitch it on the inside so nothing within can get without. May I say it's important, parent, amen, that we safeguard our children from the things of this world. Amen. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to preach that I believe the parents, amen, that have pledged their children to God, that have given their children to God, I believe that God is faithful, and he will not forget your labor of love. He will not forget, amen, the time that you brought that child down the aisle. Amen. And you dedicated that child to God. He will not forget, amen, that you brought him to Sunday school. He will not forget that you prayed in that home, that you gave them a holy, godly atmosphere. I said, God is not unrighteous to forget. I said, judgment's coming. I said, the wrath of God is going to come again. What we see in the Old Testament, we, of course, will see again. God's going to send judgment. But aren't you glad that God remembered? And I want to preach to you tonight. Amen. Just as Noah and his own were safe within the ark, I believe that God will not forget his own. And when wrath and judgment comes, we'll be preserved. I said we'll be preserved in the midst of the flood. We will be preserved in the midst of the flood. Amen. Glory to God. Preserved. Preserved in the midst of the flood. And I like this. God remembered Noah. Genesis 8 and 1. And watch this. And all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth. Now there's two things I want you to see with me in reference to God remembering Noah and him being preserved in the flood. And that, of course, as I read to you in verse 1 of chapter 8, and God made a wind. You see, Noah may have wondered, after this 40 days of rain and water upon the earth for 150 days, for near 6 months, water that covered the face of the earth. And then the Bible said God made a wind. The first thing that God gave to Noah as a token that He had not forgotten Noah was a clearing wind. A clearing wind. And the waters assuaged. God made a wind. I like Job 37 and 21. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds. We very often do not see the light that is in the clouds. We cannot see the good that comes out of the storm. We cannot see the good that comes from trial. We cannot see the good that comes from the test. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Something about that clearing wind that comes and blows the storm away and causes the flood tide to subside. I've been calling down, talking to Mom every day. You know, they had a tropical storm hit. Put several inches of water on the property. They wasn't even able to have church Sunday night, Wednesday night, because the parking lot was covered. Had about 3.5-4 feet of water on the backside of the property there. But with every day when the tide goes out and the wind blows, it carries that water out more and more and more. And she told me this morning, she said the water is off the parking lot and they probably got a good acre or more of blacktop and the water subsides. That's what God done for Noah. God sent a wind and it cleared that water, cleared it out. Isn't it amazing of how that the Holy Ghost wind can move in our life? When there's such a storm, when there's such, amen, turmoil in our life, the wind passeth, blows it all away. There's been questions in my mind and thoughts that clouded my mind and problems I didn't know what to do. And all I knew to do was just get somewhere and pray until the Holy Ghost come. Amen. God is not unrighteous to forget. Brother Shorty called about 5 minutes after 9 last night, and Sister Louise has not been feeling good, and so he called him. So I just went over there, and I made my way over there real fast, just as fast as I could get there. Hey, man, and both of them were just upset, and Brother Shorty was just a nervous wreck, pacing and standing, and finally I got him settled down, and Louise has just not been well, and... And I tell you what, I really didn't know what to do. Amen. My heart just goes out to people when they get that way and their children's so far away. But I know one thing that works every time. Amen. We visited for probably about 35, 40 minutes. Amen. And we had laughed a while and talked a while about this and that and the other. And I just got down in the middle of the floor. Amen. Down on my knees and down on my hands. And we just prayed a long time. It didn't come right soon. It didn't come right easy. But we prayed till the Holy Ghost fell at 809 Singapore in Wake Village, Texas. Glory to God. And then we prayed until the power of the Holy Ghost come down in that living room. We prayed till I heard Brother Shorty speaking in a heavenly language. And I said, thank you, Lord. You are not unrighteous to forget. You've not forgot 809 Singapore. And I want to tell you, these questions that come up, these problems that come up in your home, the best thing you can do is just get down and pray until the good wind of the Holy Ghost comes by and clears it out. Until the power of the Holy Ghost comes by and works a deliverance in your life. The clearing wind. Now when you move to verse number 20 of chapter 8 of Genesis, you see not only a clearing wind that God sent, but a covenant word. And probably several years ago, and I don't remember when, I preached to you about this covenant word. But in Genesis 8 and 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean fowl and every clean beast. And then in chapter 9 and verse 1, and God blessed Noah. Now there's only one thing I want to leave in your thinking there in regard to that covenant word that God gave Noah in not forgetting him. And that is, the blessing did not come until after the blood was shed. And I don't have time to read through all of them, but if you look in Genesis 9 and 9, covenant. Verse number 11, covenant. Verse number 12, covenant. Verse number 15, covenant. Verse number 16, everlasting covenant. God made a covenant with Noah, but the covenant did not come until after the blood. You want to say, well, Brother Shad, will this storm ever end? Will this storm ever come to a close? I want to tell you, my friend, that no matter how bad the storm gets, God has made a covenant with His own. The blessing did not come till after the blood was shed. In Hebrews 13 and 20, and then Jesus is referred to as the blood of the everlasting covenant. Brother Shad, why can you be assured that everything is going to be all right? Because the blood has been applied to the mercy seat. This storm will not take me out. This trial will not overcome me. This trial will not be my end. This trial will not be my ruin. Hell may do its worst, and the devil may do everything he can, but he can't get to me, because God made a covenant with me by the blood of the Lamb, and the devil cannot cross the bloodline. It matters not what hell does. Because of the blood, I get the blessing. And God blessed Noah in chapter 8 and verse 1. God remembered Noah in chapter 9 and verse 1. And God blessed Noah. I want to tell you, my friend, if you'll hold faithful to God, God will remember and God will bless. And God remembered. Quickly, chapter 19. I'm talking about never forsaken and never forgotten. Preacher, will this storm come to an end? Noah was preserved in the flood. Second question, does it do any good to pray? Does it do any good to pray? Look at Genesis 19 and 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. There it is. God remembered. Noah preserved in the flood. But I love this. Abraham, praying a loved one out of the fire. For you see, the story begins in verse number 16 of chapter 18. Go back and get that. Genesis 18 and 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham this thing which I do? And man, God simply says, I can't keep this from Abraham. I can't go down there and judge Sodom. I cannot go down there and rain fire and brimstone on those twin cities of the plain, because Abraham's got a nephew that's down yonder in Sodom. Great God of heaven. I want to tell you, there's been a many a person saved out of the fire because they were somebody that prayed them out of the fire. Glory to God. I'm looking at some parents here. You got children that are hell-bent and hell-bound. And the devil would like to put it in your mind, it don't do any good to pray. But my Bible said in Genesis 19 and 29, and God remembered Abraham. God did not destroy Lot in Sodom because Abraham prayed. And may I preach to you, parent? May I preach to you, loved one? I said, keep a praying for that lost sinner boy. Keep a praying for that lost sinner daughter. I said, keep a praying for that lost loved one. Your prayer will save them from the fire. Just as sure as Abraham prayed Lot out of the fire, I
want to tell you that your prayer will save them out of the fire. Stories told of how that D.L. Moody was once preaching to a large group of hardened men. There was a couple of thousand people there. It was a citywide meeting. And he said he sensed a callousness and a hardness sweep over the congregation. And he turned to Ira Sankey, his familiar friend and song leader. He said, "Ira, come and sing. Sing a song." And he said, Ira Sankey began to sing a tender song about mother and mother's prayers. And as he sang that song of mother and mother's prayers, suddenly that congregation began to break. And he seen tears stream down the faces of hard men. When that song was over, D.L. Moody went to the pulpit and preached a simple gospel, just a simple message of salvation. 500 men came and gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ, broken by mother's prayers. May I say to you that were it not for mother's prayers, were it not for daddy's prayers, were it not for somebody that held on for your soul, you'd be in the fire tonight. Would somebody help me while I preach? Amen. Abraham prayed, and he prayed a loved one right out of the fire. And when God sent down judgment and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his two daughters were safe because Abraham prayed. There's two things I want you to see in regard to God remembering Abraham, and that is this: God respected Abraham's piety. In verse number 19 of chapter 18, God says this concerning Abraham: "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken unto him." God respected Abraham's piety. Could I preach to you tonight, just in case you're in doubt, that God honors those that honor him, and God honors a holy life? You may get to the point, sir, that you wonder, does it do any good to live right? Does it do any good to stand for truth? Does it do any good to live holy? Does it do any good to stand for righteousness? I want to tell you, God honored Abraham because God saw that Abraham lived a holy life. And if you and I as parents, if we as dads, will live a holy life, I said God will respect us. I said God will show honor unto those that honor him. And God honored Abraham so that he would not judge Sodom and Gomorrah until he first spoke with Abraham. And in chapter number 18, you know the story. The Bible says that Abraham drew yet near. Drew near. That's in verse number 23. I like verse 22, and I've preached on that before. And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And on down through it goes concerning his prayer to God as he petitions for Sodom because of Lot. All the way down to 10 righteous. And of course we know that there was not even 10 righteous found in the city. But chapter number 19 in verse 29, "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out." God respected Abraham's piety. God regarded Abraham's petition. Abraham had only petitioned for 10. And there was not 10. But because Abraham had prayed, and because Abraham had petitioned, God sent Lot out.